Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text Number 7. Kridhan vidate dvijargo suranam
Kridhan vidate dvijargo suranam
Shemaya karmani avatara bhedhai
Shemaya karmani avatara bhedhai
Manona tripyati api srinvatam na
Manona tripyati api srinvatam na
Sushloka moles charitam rutani Word for translation, Kridan.
Kridan.
Manifesting pastimes.
Manifesting pastimes.
Virate.
Virate.
He performs. Dvija.
Dvija.
Twice born.
Twice born.
Go.
Go.
Cows.
Cows.
Suranam.
Suranam.
Of the demigods.
Of the demigods.
Shemaya.
Shemaya.
Welfare.
Welfare.
Karmani.
Karmani.
Transcendental activities.
Transcendental activities.
Avatara.
Avatara.
Incarnations.
Incarnations.
Vedai.
Vedai.
Differently.
Differently.
Manaha,
Manaha.
Mind.
Mind.
Na,
Na.
Never.
Never.
Tripyati,
Tripyati.
Satisfies.
Satisfies.
Api,
Api.
In spite of.
In spite of.
Shrinvatam,
Shrinvatam.
Continuously hearing.
Continuously hearing.
Na,
Na.
Hour.
Hour.
Shushloka,
Shushloka.
Auspicious,
Auspicious.
Mole.
Mole.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Charita.
Charita.
Characteristics.
Characteristics.
Amritani.
Amritani.
Undying.
Undying.
Translation appropriate by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. You may narrate also about the auspicious characteristics of the Lord in His different incarnations for the welfare of the twice born, the cows and the demigods. Our minds are never satisfied completely, although we continuously hear of His transcendental activities. Purport. The Lord appears in this universe in different incarnations like Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, and Narsingha, and He manifests His different transcendental activities for the welfare of the twice born, the cows, and the demigods. The Lord is directly concerned with the twice born or civilized men. A civilized man is one who has taken his birth twice. A living entity takes birth in this mundane world due to the union of male and female. A human being is born due to union of the father and mother, but a civilized human being has another birth by contact with the spiritual master, who becomes the actual father. The father and mother of the material body are so only in one birth. And in the next birth, the father and mother may be a different couple. But the bona fide spiritual master, as a representative of the Lord, is the eternal father, because the spiritual master has the responsibility to lead the disciple to spiritual salvation, or the ultimate goal of life. Therefore, a civilized man must be twice born, otherwise he is no more than the lower animals. The cow is the most important animal for developing the human body to perfection. The body can be maintained by any kind of foodstuffs, but cow's milk is particularly essential for developing the finer tissues of the human brain so that one can understand the intricacies of transcendental knowledge. A civilized man is expected to live on foodstuffs comprising fruits, vegetables, grains, sugar, and milk. The bull helps in the agricultural process of producing grain, etc., and thus in one sense the bull is the father of humankind. Whereas the cow is the mother, for she supplies milk to human society. A civilized man is therefore expected to give all protection to the bulls and cows. The demigods, or the living entities who live in their higher planets, are far superior to human beings. Since they have better arrangements for living conditions, they live far more luxuriously than human beings. Yet, they are all devotees of the Lord. The Lord incarnates in different forms, such as those of a fish, a tortoise, a hog, and a combined lion and man, just to give protection to civilized man, the cow, and the demigods, who are directly responsible for the regulative life of the progressive self-realization. The whole system of the material creation is planned so that the conditioned souls may have the opportunity for self-realization. One who takes advantage of such an arrangement is called a demigod or civilized man. The cow is meant to help maintain such a high standard of living. The Lord's pastimes for the protection of the twice-born civilized men, the cows, and the demigods are all transcendental. A human being is inclined to hear good narrations and stories, and therefore there are so many books, magazines, and newspapers on the market to satisfy the interests of the developed soul. But the pleasure in such literature, after it is read once, becomes stale, and people do not take any interest in reading such literature repeatedly. In fact, newspapers are read for less than an hour and then thrown in the dustbins as rubbish. The case is similar with all other mundane literatures. But the beauty of transcendental literatures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is that they never become old. They have been read in the world by civilized men for the last 5,000 years, and they have never become old. They are ever fresh to the learned scholar and devotees. And even by daily repetition of these verses of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no satiation for devotees like Vidura. Vidura might have heard the pastimes of the Lord many, many times before he met Maitreya, but still he wanted the same narrations to be repeated because he was never satiated by hearing them. That is the transcendental nature of the Lord's glorious pastimes. Om Gyana Tinarandasya, Yananjana Shlakaya Chakshumamunitam Yuna Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langai Tehirim Yakripata Maham Pandesh Shri Gurum Dinatarunam. Pancha Kalpa Tuvishcha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patita Nam Pavnyu Guru Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please forgive me. I didn't know this would happen this morning, so I'll just try my best to repeat what I've read in the last 5 minutes. So we're continuing with Vidura's questions and conversation with Maitreya Rishi about the different pastimes of the Lord, his incarnations, his activities, etc. So at the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the Lord appears in different incarnations for the welfare of the twice-born, the civilized human being, the cows and the demigods. So in different kalpas, in different planetary systems, the Lord is taking his birth. Or should I say, the Lord is appearing, performing his different pastimes. And we know that when the Lord appears, he does so by his own transcendental potency. He appears in the company of his devotees as well. So the Lord has his entourage that he brings with him, his holy dham, his devotees, so that he may enact these pastimes. So whether it's for the purpose of annihilating miscreants or showing pleasure for his devotees, the Lord comes millennium after millennium. This is explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita when he explains his appearance in this material world. What's the first line of that verse? Parichanaya sarunam vinasaya chaduskutam tama samstapanatayam sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord there has explained that he's appearing in every yuga, in every millennium, in his own transcendental form to annihilate the miscreants, those with demoniac tendencies, those who are ruled by the false ego concept of I and mine, in the mode of ignorance. He explained that he also comes to show favor to his devotees, to appease his devotees and attract them more and more to his nature and his characteristics. And eventually, of course, to establish the principles of religion, to establish real dharma so that persons can gradually be elevated in consciousness. So Krishna has explained that in Bhagavad Gita that he's appearing in different millenniums, in different species of life, so that he performs certain pastimes to attract, to annihilate, and to maintain dharma. So this is also being repeated once again to Vidura, who has heard this knowledge, of course, before. But as the pages of Bhagavatam are explaining, that the devotees of the Lord are never satiated by hearing topics of the Lord, whether it's over and over again in different scenarios. The devotee is always relishing hearing about Krishna because Krishna's nature is non-material. Everything that Krishna does is non-material, from his pastimes to his interactions to his appearance. So it is always a transcendental wonder for one who engages in such subject matters. So the hearing or the remembrance of these pastimes as well is on the transcendental platform. So when we hear about Krishna, when we read about Krishna's pastimes, the impact is also on the spiritual level. It is not a material process of just hearing nice stories. And these are transcendental words about Krishna, descriptions about him as an all-attractive person. And we get the result by also becoming attracted to this all-attractive personality who is non-material, whether he descends or appears in this material world. So his pastimes were in the different species of life, whether he comes as Matsya Avatar, whether he comes as Kurma, or Lord Nrsimha, all these incarnations or avatars of Krishna are coming to perform specific pastimes, and these pastimes are recorded so that we can also hear them over and over again, so that we get to develop our original attraction for the personality of Godhead. So it is by hearing about his pastimes and activities that we become attracted more and more to the personality of Krishna and in all his different aspects. So it specifically mentions that the Lord is concerned with his, with the demigods, with the cows, and with the welfare of the civilized man or those who have been twice born. Now, the human form of life, as it's been explained so many times in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is explained to be a rare form in which one can make gradual advancement in spiritual science and spiritual knowledge. So it is a wonderful opportunity, and it should never be wasted. Therefore, Prabhupada is explaining that in the beginning we take birth from the normal coupling between male and female. That is our mother and father. That union produces, we take birth from our father and mother. And then eventually a civilized human being will also take another birth, and this comes in terms of accepting or coming into contact with a bona fide spiritual master who becomes the actual father, or one who teaches and connects one to the Supreme Lord, our original foundation. Our original father. So the relationship that should be had as a civilized person is that one should cultivate spiritual knowledge under the guidance of the spiritual master, who will help reawaken our dormant our love for Krishna. And this relationship, of course, it is one that over time, through the process of purification, through the process of flowing sadhana bhakti, one's heart and consciousness becomes cleansed, and all misgivings are removed from the heart, and one continuously hears about Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is explaining the process of transcendental knowledge, how to receive it, how to put it into application, how to reciprocate with transcendental knowledge, Krishna explains the in the verse Tad Vidhi Pranipatina Pariprashnina Sevaya Uparakshanti Te Gyanam Jnaninas Tad Vadarshana, explaining that the spiritual master is one who has seen the truth. He has got the realization about the supremacy of the absolute person. And of course, seeing the truth doesn't mean that at one point the spiritual master was in total darkness, and then this huge light came over his head, and then there was this pin drop silence and this big aha moment, and then Krishna appeared in his three bending form and started to speak to him directly. not necessarily the spiritual master has seen the truth in this way. We see, as Anuradha was mentioning in class the other day, by hearing, the spiritual master is also a disciple of his spiritual master. And a disciple means one who is disciplined, one who is learning these signs from a guru, the spiritual master. So by this hearing process, by hearing bona fide transcendental knowledge, one actually becomes elevated and one can actually see things as they are. So the spiritual master has also heard transcendental knowledge coming in the parampara system, and in that way they have also seen, or they, through the hearing process, they are actually seeing Krishna. So when we hear the pages of Prabhupada mentions here, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we get to see Krishna, we get to understand his personality, we get to understand his transcendental form and his achara vigraha, his expansions, his devotees, from this hearing process and all through the other other processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. All these processes that we are performing in this way that Srila Prabhupada has set it up is a way in which we can get to actually see Krishna. Not that we're running behind trees and bushes and we're looking for Krishna, or we dress up like gopis or peacocks and try to bring about that ecstaticness, but that is brought about by hearing about this personality and by engaging in the bona fide process of devotional service. So this is how one can actually get to see Krishna. The spiritual master leads the disciple to spiritual salvation by engaging them in the process of devotional service towards Krishna. And in this way, everyone is encouraged to take up the process of bhakti so that they can become elevated, be put back into their spiritual position. So this is why it is important to actually accept a bona fide spiritual master, to give up our mental speculation or dry arguments with our conditioned mind, with our conditioned body, which is subject to illusion, the cheating propensity, and our imperfect senses. It is difficult for us to even make sense of our own body, our own mind, what to speak of trying to understand the unlimited personality, trying to understand Krishna. So by our purified senses, gradually we get a glimpse, or we get a little understanding of who Krishna is and who am I in relation to Krishna. So when we hear about Krishna, we perform practical devotional service, we get purified, and we start to understand Krishna through the process. So this is something that this topic is coming about between the discussion, in the discussion that Vidura is having with Maitreya Rishi. And as we mentioned earlier on, these topics have been discussed so many times over and over again, and it is the quality of a devotee, or it is the nature of a devotee, that they never tire of hearing these transcendental subject matters. Because they're dealing directly with a transcendental person, there is taste, there's a different taste at every step whenever we hear or chant or perform our devotional service. It is always ever fresh and ever new. This is the nature of Krishna. Krishna is not stale, he's not boring, he's not plain, he's completely spiritual. He's always dynamic in his dealings. So whenever we hear about Krishna, the same mood or the same principle is also there. Hearing about Krishna also produces the same as chanting about Krishna, as performing devotional service or fully surrendering to Krishna. With the nine processes of bhakti, even if one is practiced just independently, that one process can lead one to perfection. As we know from Shravanam and Kirtanam, those who perfected that were Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit, and the other examples that have also been given. So we have the great fortune of performing all the nine processes of bhakti, from offering prayers to the Lord, surrendering to the Lord, hearing, chanting the glories of the Lord. So we're doing so many things to revive our dormant Krishna consciousness. And this is a sign of a civilized human being, that we are cultivating our spiritual existence. We're not only focused on the temporary, ephemeral, or the changing material sphere. We're not only caught up in that environment, but we continuously hear these transcendental activities. And these activities about Krishna, they also put us on a transcendental level. And the next point, Srila Prabhupada speaks about how the cow is the most important animal for developing the human body, stressing also how a civilized man is expected to live depending on the cow, as the cow is providing the energy for producing grain, sorry, for producing milk products that will nourish our body, and the bull, of course, for tilling the land, creating energy, and in that way we can take care of ourselves even economically. So the cow has many, many benefits, and that's why the Vedic culture itself is centered around, or there's great importance given to the cow and the bull. And the cow, of course, is considered one of the seven mothers. So great importance is given to the cow. And as we see in the modern day, the importance of what to speak of any other animal, the importance of the cow is not even given any pedestal or precedence. There is no understanding of seeing the animals and everything on the land as the praja or the citizens. Whereas in the Bhagavatam, we understand when the great saintly kings and the rulers were on this planet, they would take care of all the living entities in their domain, because they are also considered as citizens. So the animals were taken care of, whether it was the cows and the goats or the dogs, whatever, the animals were also taken care of, because they also have their role or their part to play in helping us human beings become steady, regulated, and then continue with our spiritual life. And the demigods, or the living entities who live in the higher planets, are far superior to human beings because they have a more or better luxurious arrangements than human beings, and they are also devotees. So the Lord also performs his pastimes in those places where he's also engaging his devotees who happen to be the demigods, also giving them some transcendental knowledge and understanding of their position as servants of Krishna. Although they have powers, although they're very powerful living entities, still they are subservient to Krishna. They get everything, all their prowess, all their opulence is coming ultimately from Krishna. So this whole system of material creation is created in such a way that we're able to see just the futile attempts of material existence and trying to be happy in a world where there's no happiness. So material existence is like chewing that which has already been chewed. It's like trying to squeeze as much sugar candy as you can from, as much sugar cane juice as you can from the sugar cane. And if you're from India, you understand on the side of the road, there's always that humongous machine where they put the sugar cane through and the juice comes out on the other end. And can you imagine putting all that roughage back in to try to squeeze even more juice out of it, and taking that out again and trying to squeeze even more juice out of it? So if we can even practice that at home, or if you have your juicer at home, make your juice and then take whatever is left, try it again, put it in and see if anything happens. So that is the mad state of material existence, that we're trying to squeeze so much happiness out of a place where there is no happiness. So the Nectar of Devotion is explaining the different types of happiness people feeling, material happiness, the happiness you get from liberation, and then ultimately the topmost happiness is that which you get from practicing spiritual life, the happiness one experiences in connection with Krishna. So material happiness no matter how luxurious we might be living, whether it's in the heavenly planets or on the earth planet, living in Hawaii or Bali or Fiji or wherever people are considering it to be luxurious, still it is a place of repeated birth and death. How can one be happy in a place of repeated birth and death? So the whole point is to help us gradually perform some type of austerity, giving us some realization that this place is not going to make me happy, and guide us in the right direction towards our self-realization, trying to understand who we are. So, Prabhupada further down explains how human beings are inclined to hear good narrations, stories, and therefore there's so many, many books, magazines, pamphlets. Now there's the internet. Sometimes you don't even need to buy a magazine. Everything is on the web. There's so many stories about so many things that are just nonsensical. You know, there's always stories about who's doing what in the cricket, in Bollywood, in Hollywood, you know, in the music scene. So-and-so performed surgery on her lips. There's a full-page article about Botox. Right? This is what the pages are being used for. This is what trees are being sacrificed for. Articles writing about how people are changing their sense gratification in terms of their gross body. Change your lips, change your legs, change your hair, change your eye color. Even now, there are persons who are dissatisfied with the color of their eyes. So there are certain procedures that they get to change their eye color. And they're magazine spreads about all these things, and this is, people are used to reading this, but as Prabhupada mentions, you read it in an hour, you check it out. You can't read that same magazine over and over again, reading about, oh, what did Brad Pitt do? Oh, this is happening to Bill Cosby. Oh, this is happening to that person and that person. After some time, it's in the bin. Right? We're not getting any satisfaction from that. Where we can read Bhagavad Gita over and over again every single day and still be like, wow, that was nice. And then we pick it up the next day, or we read Bhagavatam over and over again. But can you imagine just reading one of these mundane literatures about whatever is out there, the greatest perfume or whatever, lip injections? It's boring. And after some time, you need something else. Hence, they are creating more and more gadgets to distract, because we can't be satisfied with just one magazine. There's so many, and so much junk is being put in there. So people become attracted to hearing gramya katha, topics or subject matters that are just pertaining to the body, useless subject matters. So the consciousness becomes polluted, and when they get books like this, for them to even read a paragraph of Prabhupada's books is so bewildering, because their consciousness is so cloudy. Their consciousness is so contaminated. So there's not much pleasure in this material literature. But whether one could be using their time and efforts to read transcendental subject matters that will elevate the consciousness and that will bring about peace in the body. Sometimes what you read makes you so agitated. It makes you so angry or depressed, because you're reading these negative vibrations, they go into your heart, into your consciousness, and you become disturbed. But this is not how we want to be, so we should be very choosy in what we are reading. The beauty of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is that it creates so much peace and harmony within our body, our mind, our consciousness. It makes us happy by reading such books. So this is the point Prabhupada is making, that this Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is being read for so many thousands and thousands of years by different persons, learned scholars and devotees, and still there's no distaste, or the devotees never get enough of reading these transcendental subject matters. So a lesson we can take from this pastime with Vidura, this specific text, is that books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam These transcendental literatures are repeated for us over and over again so that we can, simply by hearing them, develop our natural attraction for Krishna. And it is an eternal thing that we constantly hear Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and still we never get tired of hearing about Krishna because he's the all-attractive person. And when we relate to him, we get ourselves out of the lower modes of material nature and we connect ourselves with Krishna on the spiritual platform. And naturally, our consciousness is awakened. Naturally, our inclination to serve Krishna is also awakened. So it is for our best interest, our real self-interest, is to hear from the pages of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam about these pastimes relating to Krishna. From his creation to his incarnations, his devotees, it is always wonderful to hear. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any questions or comments. Twice born, because as Prabhupada mentions in the beginning, we are born from the union of mother and father. And then when we take initiation again, because initiation has the whole process, or the yajna itself solidifies and creates a samskar or an impression in our minds that we're taking vows, we're performing this sacrifice, we're being cleansed of our previous karma, and we're beginning a new chapter. So we perform the initiation ceremony or the initiation rites. It is a new beginning. So it's like we're being born into the family of Krishna, where we're now officially, we have been accepted by the parampara. That's why at the initiation we have assembled devotees, we have the yajna, we have the presence of the deities, we have the chanting of mantras, and we have the presence of the parampara. All these books are present when we get initiated, so that we understand this is a formal introduction into the disciplic succession acceptance, and all that mercy is formed from that point on. So those who are twice born, it just means that they are officially making their mark, beginning on the path of connecting with the Supreme Person. So it is another samskar, it is another impression that is created where we're beginning our life as a servant of Krishna officially. Cows are always, here the distinction is, there's a twice born, which means that is for human beings. That is for civilized human beings. When Prabhupada starts speaking about the cows in accordance with the human beings, or even just separately, is to show that a civilized person acknowledges and knows the benefit of having the cow and the bull in making proper spiritual progress. So not only does Krishna consider the twice born, but also the cows, because they give so much assistance for the twice born to continue with their spiritual path. Just like in the verse, Guru Brahmana Hitai Tai Jagadi Tai Krishna Govindai Namo Namaha. Even the cow is mentioned before the Brahmanas. So a lot of importance from Krishna is being given to the cows, because they help solidify what a civilized or what human civilization should be like. It should give proper focus to the cow, to the bull. You know, the bull is providing grains, ox power, it can till the land, provide us with electricity, so many things. It can help us live simply. And then the cow is providing, milk products. So in that combination, human civilization should go on.
He has to come back.
then that could mean that he's never in the spiritual world. He's always coming back, for there's always so many conditioned souls in this material world. I remember hearing Bhanu Swami explain this, and he was saying, we have so many spiritual masters, and sometimes it is not necessary that our Diksha Guru right now is the same Diksha Guru who will come or who has been with us in previous lifetimes. So the spiritual master can be sent by Krishna, and it can be a different servant of Krishna each for different lifetimes. So it's not, it doesn't necessarily mean that this Diksha Guru I have now is the one that I had in my previous life and the life before and the life before, right, going back to however long we've been here. And at the same time, Krishna can give the potency to the living entity to take on different forms as a spiritual master. Say, for example, sometimes you'll read that in the body of Arjuna is Prahlad Maharaj and another personality in one. So there's kind of like two personalities in one person. So sometimes the spiritual master may come lifetime after lifetime, but it's not, I don't, from my understanding, it's not the necessary rule that he has to come alive. It's one spiritual master, one lifetime after the other. Krishna sends many to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls. Eternal Father, because read the lines before, Prabhupada is speaking about the father who joins with the mother to produce a child. So the eternal spiritual master means it is not a physical relationship. It is a relationship based on our spiritual identity. So it's not based on physical terms. It's an eternal relationship. Whereas a mother and father, we have a set of mother and father. Now in the next life, we have a different mother and father. Before, we had a different mother and father. But when there's a more elevated, when there's a more elevated devotee, or like someone like Ganyura Prabhu, or someone, you can ask them this question, and I'm sure they can shed some more light onto it. Sorry, what was that?
The initiation process, like being
could be. We don't know how we got this great fortune of performing devotional service right now. It could have just been a case of agyata sukriti. Or maybe we have practiced previously in our previous lives. So we don't really know. We're continuing or we're just beginning. Thank you very much. Grantana Shimad Bhagavatam ki. Shabbat. Shabbat. Oh, tremendous.